Jesus referred to the temple, these buildings that his disciple showed him, the temples, the buildings, just as things. As things. Then he told them, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. The disciples then asked him some questions. As they did, Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives, it says. That's where the name comes for this section. They asked him, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And as we talked about the past couple of weeks, Jesus goes on to answer those questions and give us some signs of the times so that we can be prepared for his coming. If you miss those teachings or you're new to the Bible, you can go on the website that's listed in your bulletin and review those messages on Matthew 24. But understanding this section of Scripture begins really in the verses that were put in your bulletin this morning. John 14, 1 through 3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I will come again. A few weeks ago, we celebrated together Resurrection Sunday, or Easter Sunday. And we know that Jesus died on a cross. We talked about that to pay the penalty. I got to move this, or I'll be drinking somebody else's. Pay the penalty for our sins, or the death sentence, really, for our sins. He was resurrected, risen from the dead. If you were here, I passed out a list of eyewitness accounts of those that saw Jesus after this event, before his ascension into heaven. And as we finish Matthew chapter 24 today, that's what this is all about, is his return. Part of what I talked about the last couple of weeks, just to explain it a little further, are really two distinct events that we're looking for. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." That blessed hope and great appearing. That's referring to the rapture of the church. What is that? What's the rapture of the church, you might ask? The rapture of the church is when Jesus Christ is going to come in an instant. The Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye. How is that measured? The twinkling of an eye. Faster than a snap, I'm assuming. The twinkling of an eye to take away his church, and then the wrath of God will be poured out upon the earth. I shared some verses last week out of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." We shall always be with the Lord when that happens. We can know that. We can know that we will always be with the Lord. Death or the afterlife is not something that we have to fear. Now, this period of wrath, known as the Great Tribulation, is much of what we learned about last week, with one called the Antichrist being revealed to wreak havoc on the earth. And at the end of the seven-year period, there's a second event known as the Second Coming of Jesus Christ. It's at this time Jesus will come back with his church to establish his kingdom on the earth. And as you remember, as we went through this, that's what his disciples thought was going to happen now. Not death on the cross, that his kingdom would be established. According to the Bible, there are some prophecies that have to be fulfilled before Jesus comes again in that second coming. The Antichrist must be revealed. We talked about that last week, the abomination of desolation, that he would be proclaimed to the world. There will be a time of great tribulation and judgment. But what we need to know today is that we're waiting for nothing more before the rapture. All that needed to be fulfilled has been fulfilled. So the church, those that believe in Jesus Christ, those that have repented of their sins and made him their Savior, could be taken away in the twinkling of an eye. Today, tomorrow, we don't know. We do have the blessed hope waiting for that. But understand that. I know that we've talked about this the last couple of weeks, but nothing left. We've read about the signs of the times, what's to come, and we talked about those being signs of the coming tribulation. But nothing else has to happen before the rapture. It could happen while we're here. That takes us to our text today. I think we left off at 35. We'll pick up in verse 36, Matthew chapter 24. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So he starts out referring back to those questions that we saw in verse 3. When is this happening? And we saw verse 37, but in the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. This is Jesus talking. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until that day that Noah entered the ark. So how was this like the days of Noah? Very similar. We could go through and compare and contrast about population overgrowth and sin in our world. Actually, if you turn quickly with me to Genesis chapter 6, the very first book in your Bible, way, way, way to the left. I'll just read a little bit of that just to give us an overview of the days of Noah. Genesis chapter 6, I'll start at verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Sounds a little like today. And that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I'm sorry that I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace. Unmerited or unearned favor with God. This Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, this is the first mention that we have of grace in the Bible. So God is all about it from the beginning of the book to the end. Let's go on just a little bit. Verse 9, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Gopher wood was the use that they used to make coffins with. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. its width 50 cubits and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above and set the door of the ark on its side. You shall make with it lower, second, and third decks, and behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. So we see a description there similar to today. It's easy to read through that, and Noah's told to build an ark. Noah's going to be saved from this destruction that's coming to the earth. And get the dimensions. Cubits are hard for us to relate to, but basically the length of this is 450 feet, a football field and a half long. Width is 75 feet, height 45 feet. The Bible says that there's three floors to this. A deck and two other layers. So you've got a guy living in this world of sin constructing an ark in a world where they hadn't seen rain to this point. The floodwaters hadn't been released. And he's warning what's to come. I don't know how long. I mean, different people say it took him 120 years to build the ark. I think if you actually figure it out, somewhere between 55 years and no more than 90, irrelevant. 50 years at least, the guy is building a ship the size of a football field and a half, warning. And like today, where people are warning, like today that we're sharing the gospel with others, the world goes on, business as usual. The world's oblivious as to what's to come. And that's what our scripture is about today, what is to come, how important it is to warn, how important it is to understand that today could be it. Verse 39 says, and they did not know, back in Matthew 24, they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field and one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Now this is one of those sections like I talked about last week where there's different interpretations on it. Is this during the tribulation period, during the time of judgment at the end, and the Lord comes back, one's taken. Some teach that the one taken is taken away for judgment. And the other will remain. The one that remains will be blessed and left here to rule with the Lord. Most of the commentaries, a lot of the Bible teachers, kind of present both sides and leave it up to you. I'll tell you, I side that this is the rapture. And you can go through and read the scriptures and decide for yourself, but I want people to be ready. I think we're called to live knowing this can happen any second. I believe this speaks of the rapture of the church, that the one taken away is the believers. And if you go further there, 42, as I read, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Your Lord. My Lord is coming to take us away. 42 says, watch therefore, be ready, regardless of what side you stand on that. Your Lord is coming. So if that were to happen today, if during this message some were to disappear, some were to go in the air, would you be with them? Or would you be here to pay next month's rent? Verse 43. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. Be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You know, that's probably the biggest lie. People are told there's no God or there's no hell or you've got time. I've got time. I don't have to make this decision today. I'm young. He's coming in an hour we don't expect. You don't know how much time you have. 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his foundation to give him food in due season? Blessed is that servant to whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, I've got time, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him and at an hour that he's not aware of, and will cut him with two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Heavy stuff in our text today. And I admit, you may be thinking that I knew you were going to be here today, or I've had people the last several weeks tell me that they're going to be here today. And that's always my concern up front, is that people are going to think, oh, he's laying this on heavy today because I'm here. Or my wife or my husband or my parents said, you need to do a salvation message today. Honestly, I didn't know you were going to be here. I didn't know you needed this message. But someone did. We started this book a little over 7 months ago. God knew. God orchestrated it, that you'd be here today, that this would be the message that you'd hear. God loves you that much that these people had to listen to the same chapter two more times, so today you'd be here for this. He loves you. Be ready. 25. Let's start chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven might end early because my wife's in nursery, okay? We definitely won't go late. Then the kingdom of heaven, verse 1, shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Now in Jesus' day, let me just explain this part a little bit. The engagement would be met. The wedding date would actually be set. But it wasn't known when the bridegroom would come. Could come in the morning, could come midday, could come at midnight. But an announcement would be made, and the wedding party would happen. The wedding would happen. So this is what Jesus is talking about here in this parable. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept, in verse 5. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. No more time to prepare. They have to be ready. It's happening now. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Blessed last night. Had the opportunity to go see Jeremy Camp and a couple other artists in Bangor. Huge assembly of people worshiping together. It was incredible. One of the intro guys from Word of Life Bible Camp came to share some information, and he said Word of Life, and I had this horrific flashback of being a young teen and going to a Word of Life basketball camp. It's not where the horrific flashback comes in, okay? I should explain that, people listening online. Please listen to the rest. Went to this basketball camp and had a great time, spiritually poured into, great place. At least it was 100 years ago when I went. And at the end of that week, one of the things they wanted us to do was put on a skit, entertaining skit for the rest of them that were there. And the group I got put in chose this parable as the skit. Now, if you read through there, there's not a lot of spots for guys. And the only reason why I'm sharing this is I'm quite certain there's no video. But I played the role of one of the foolish virgins. And there was a dress-up day planned in that week, so several of the female campers had dresses for us to borrow. We looked like foolish virgins. Anyway, we looked foolish. Doing this skit, I was remembering back last night, wondering if I should share this or not. And the response was much like this, probably a little more so, actually being able to visualize this. But when the bridegroom came, those that were ready went with him, and then the door was shut. And us foolish ones were knocking on the door, swinging our lamps that didn't work, trying to get in. And it was funny, and it was met with laughter. But then there's the rest of this. Verse 12, but he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I did not know you. And it wasn't so funny. Us that didn't have oil. You guys know oil in the Bible is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. When we receive Christ, when we ask Him to be our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into us. Those that didn't have that, those that looked like they belonged in the wedding party, maybe sat in the pew at church, maybe said all the right things, but didn't have oil in their lamp, didn't have the Holy Spirit, didn't know Him as Savior, were shut out, were left. We have this text today because our Lord loves us. Our Lord says, watch, be ready, know this. This was orchestrated today that you would be here because He loves you, wants you to have this chance. I know several of you know Him. I assume. We all look like we belong in the wedding party, and we all do. If we don't rely on ourselves, if we accept the free gift, if we repent of our sins. There's nothing more important that I can say today than that. Be ready. Have oil in your lamp. Accept the Lord. I want to give an opportunity to do that, and then we'll dismiss and we'll have some time for fellowship this morning. You can know where you would be if He came back today. If you don't know the whole story, if you're not around when the rapture happens, if the Lord delays that, the Bible also says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. You will meet Him either way. You need to be ready. So I'm going to ask that we pray. If you don't know Him, or you're not sure if you know Him, if you're afraid that you've been dressing up, looking like you're ready for the wedding, and you're not, and you just want to be sure, I'm going to ask as I pray that you just lift your hand, let me know, so I can be praying for you. But I also want to encourage you to take it a step further and let me know afterward, let somebody else know so that they can encourage you, pray for you, disciple you, show you in the Word where to go, and love you through Christ. So, everybody bow your heads. If you want to know, have no doubt where you spend eternity. You want to mark this date as the time that your life changed forever. I'm going to ask that you just lift your hand, let me know, and then we'll pray together. You can pray silently right where you are. Is there anybody that wants to do that this morning? Is there anybody that knows that the Lord orchestrated this so that you'd be here today? My fear, guys, is if you can't do it today and the rapture happens, you won't do it then. There's no purgatory in the Bible. There's no second chance. If you want to be sure today, I'm not going to delay it. I'll give you one more opportunity. Just slip your hand up. We'll pray silently together. I'm not going to call you up here. Okay, you put your hand down. Anybody else? You want to know that this is real. Okay, let's pray. If you prayed that prayer, if you raised your hand, just pray this with me. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for showing me your need for you. Thank you for giving me this chance to be saved. Lord, I'm sorry that I've lived my life my own way. Please forgive me for those choices that have gone against your will. Please forgive me for my sin. Be my Savior. Help me to follow you. Father, thank you for this service. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Lord, thank you for the ability to see our brothers and sisters through your eyes, Lord, and love them. Father, help us to reach out to this community and to love the unlovable, Lord, the strangers and those that the world would cast away. Lord, help us to see them as you see them. Lord, and love them enough to warn them. Love them enough to share the gospel. Thank you for the way that you provided for this church, Lord. You're amazing. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace and peace, church.